say the least, it's good to be back with y'all from the standpoint of the outdoors activities of Sarge Lake Christian Camp. It's just great to have session four going on and being directed by folks that grew up with me, so to speak. Our two sons, and then Todd Sanderson, as well as Cliff Mims, as well as Marlon Williams and others, and Chris Martin and all. Just a great leadership kind of activity that resulted in 14 of our older children being baptized into Christ during the course of the week. So it was just a great time. On the fireworks show, 450 folks came to campus. They brought their lawn chairs and they sat down out there on the ball field area and everything, and they just sat 20 deep with rows and rows and rows of people watching the good fireworks show be done. And it's become a community affair, and a lot of community people are involved with that thing now, and so it's a good thing. They tell us we have 6,000 on the roadsides. If we had another 450 there, if we had another, we wouldn't be able to accommodate it. We just wouldn't be able to accommodate it. So that 450 was a good crowd of folks. We enjoyed it very much. Young people are getting me together the songs that they sang at the other sessions of Sarge Lake Christian Camp, and we'll have those new songs. And we'll get those together. Let's have the finalize those things. We'll put them on our PowerPoint and put them up here on the screen, everything, for everybody to sing on the third Sunday afternoon. Third Sunday afternoon, come back here at service time 30 minutes early, and we'll enjoy that very, very much on that third Sunday of our devotional time, the new songs, the extra songs that we do. One of them is kind of the song that we got to sing. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope. That's a good song, and it does set forth the idea that the Lord's steadfast love never ceases. Good to have you all here today, to say the least, in our studies today. We move on to the idea of the relationship that God has with certain things. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "My little children, love not in word or in speech." King James says in tongue. "But in action and truth." In deed and truth, the King James says. In this regard, we're to be people who not just tell people we love them, we're to show them. We're not to just tell people that we'll help them, but we're to show them. James raised that question about the subject of faith in James chapter 2, in which he noted to those people, if you say to those who are destitute and in need, and you say to them, "Be ye warmed and filled," notwithstanding you give them not to minister to them those things that they have need of, has faith saved you or them? And he notes there that kind of faith is not a real faith. When we put into practice what the Lord has said, that's the way of real faith in our lives. That's the way of real hope in our lives. And when we talk about love in our family and love in the relationship that we have, when love is expressed in such a way that it is illustrated by the way that we hug, the way that we talk, the way we visit one another, the way we encourage one another, then it becomes real love. But when it's in word only, no wonder John would say, "My little children, love not in word and in speech, but in action and truth." 1 John 3 and 18. This section talks about the great love that we should have and the great way of God in our lives. God teaches us that. And if you would turn your Bible with me today, right there in your pew, to 1 John chapters 3 and 4, and let's talk about some of the things that are noted here. 1 John 3, very beginning of verse 11. "For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother Abel. And whereof slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's was righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So when we start out a relationship, we talk about a relationship that is serious. It's the idea of brothers and sisters. It's the idea of when we begin our earthly journey in life. The opportunity that we have to be people who truly love one another. This congregation loves a lot of good gospel preachers that have been here to do lecture programs and studies with us in days gone by. When Brother Stephen Dickerson said, I can be there just on that Sunday, we wanted him to be here all through the week. We'd love to hear him every time. But he's got other things that are on his mind and other things and responsibilities that he has to obligate himself to. And so that barred him from coming back on Monday night through Thursday night in sort of an efficient way. He might be and then he might not be. And he wanted us to pick up somebody who could come and be pretty dependable to be here Monday through Thursday night. One of the men loved Michael Bates. And I asked the men in a business meeting right there Wednesday night. I said, who is one of the good? Well, let's first check with Michael Bates. We love him, want him to speak to us. If he's not able to come, then check with the next one, Hal Johnson. And then they check with the next one, and we got next people there. Pardon me. And finally, there's Robert Rawson that backs up. I come prepared for a gospel meeting service every night that a meeting goes on. Now, you never hear me in that regard until somebody is in an accident on the highway or delayed on the highway for a tractor, trailer, rig that's jammed or something other like that, and they can't get here in time. And when the songs are sung and the speaker time comes, I'll step right up and never say a word about somebody missing. I'll say a word in regard to the gospel sermon that I've preached for that night. And so I'll teach that message. And I'll teach the word of the Lord to people and ask them to open the Bible to read here. And here's what I'm saying today. When we love people like we should, we want their service to be rendered. We want to love them and care for them and be good. And this congregation is that way about the gospel preachers coming. At the same time, they're that same way about us. They want us to hear the word of the Lord in that practice. I've known these men for quite some time. And they want us to do God's will. It's not just because they preached it. It's because it's the word of the Lord that's been taught. And that's the way it should be. And we should honor that way in our daily walk of life. This last week at camp, we were on the emphasis of selflessness. That's the topic that was chosen. Not selfish people, but putting ourselves in second place. Like the old song about J-O-Y, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others next, and yourself at last. The idea of it is to be people who look to the needs of folks around about us and help them. And instead of being selfish and self-centered, make less of ourselves. And the last lesson that was presented was a lesson of Jerry Moore in regard to Jesus dying upon the cross. He came to earth as the Son of God, lived a perfect and sinless life, taught people the word of the Lord by which they to live and talk and act and do. Yet there was hatred for him and rejection for him, and he was put upon the cross. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins, he said. And he said his Father would raise him back in the third day. He went into that tomb, buried in that tomb. Joseph of Arimathea came along the way, had that tomb, and there he was. But the angel came and rolled that stone away. And at the opening of the first of the day of the new week, he came forth. And the angel said to those who came to visit that empty tomb, why do you come seeking the living among the dead? Know ye not that he is risen? And he's gone before you, as he said. Jesus told them he would die. But he told them his Father would raise him in the third day. And thus Jesus came about. Teaching the word of the Lord and the will of the Lord is the way that we should be in our lives. And the idea is about love. Don't just say it. Don't just speak it. Don't just implement it. But do that in deeds and in truth. Do that. That's the way of the Lord. When we find ourselves involved in this great grand fellowship, look what's said in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. What is John here writing about? Writing about love. And love for what? Love for the truth of God's word. Believe not every spirit. There are those who come and they're dressed and they have their vest on and they have their shiny shoes and they speak, but they speak in such a way that the word of God is not emphasized. The teaching of the Lord is not given. They teach a certain message that they come to believe and that they like to practice. Beloved, believe not every spirit. But try the spirits whether they be of God. How do you go about trying them? In verses 3, 4, and 5 of this same chapter right here in 1 John 4. He says you try them by the word of the Lord that's been delivered. And by that word you know that this is true. Verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and error. How do we know the spirit of truth and error? By hearing what's said and comparing it back to what God's word has spoken. When we compare it back to what God's word says, and we find that, well, Jesus used the word like baptizo, immersion for the remission of sins, not rentizo. Rented those sprinkling. What do we do when we tell the truth about that? We say that it is immersion. Jesus used words that would be used along the lanes of the merchants as the people came to town. In that day and time, their particular malls were set along the roadsides. As they came into town, they'd see a merchant over here, and he was advertising that he had cloth. Let's say that a lady who'd worked at her garments and worked out in the ways and she'd sold those garments and everything, and she had a little bit of denarii. She had a little bit of coins. Had Caesar's picture on those coins, the image that was strained on those, image was put on that, pressed on that coin. She prized it. She didn't want to just give it for nothing. But anyhow, she walked up and she said, I would like to have for my table, I would like to have a baptizo blue garment. She wanted a blue tablecloth, solid blue in color. She may have put down an earnest payment for it. That would be done in that day and time. To be sure that they came back and bought it fully, that'd be a certain amount that was put down for it. When she came back the following week or two, and she asked for her baptizo blue garment, her solid blue tablecloth. And he said, I've got it right here in this box. I've got this right here in this particular basket. And he pulls out a rento garment. It's spotted. It's blue, but it's not all blue. It's blue and white mixed. It's polka dotted. He says, here it is. She says, oh no. This is not what I didn't ask for a rentoed garment. I didn't ask for a rentoed blue. That rentoed blue is a sprinkled garment, and it's a polka dotted garment. I want a solid. I'd ask for a baptos. Baptizo is the immersed blue, solid color. She probably wouldn't part with the rest of that bill. She might ask for a refund if that was not promised that he'd soon get that solid garment to her. She may ask for a refund. She had a judge by which she could go to and appeal to him And he would come there to that site and he would say, what garment did you ask for? I asked for this. Who witnesses to this fact? Well, here are my family. Here's the person here. Oh, yes, she asked for a solid colored garment. And you brought out of the basket what? For her bill, for her payment? A rent-toed garment. He would be challenged. You either do this right or you're not owed a payment. Jesus used those words in a spiritual way to talk about our being immersed into Christ Jesus and begin a new way of life. Tell the truth. My little children, do not love in word and in speech, but in actions and truth. What's true about it? Preachers, we are up here and everything. We have a wonderful way of life. Wonderful thing. I wouldn't trade this way of life for anything in the world. I thought I was going to be at the time I started out in this world. I love chemistry and things like that. And I thought I was going to be a surgeon. I thought I was going to be a doctor, a surgeon. I was going to take care of you when you had appendicitis. I was going to open you up, rip those things out, sew you up, send you on your way. Everything would be happy and good in time. But along the way of life, I'm glad that more emphasis was given to teaching the Word of God. And I've decided that I would not have really enjoyed that way of life, because although you get your appendix out, not everybody lives like they should. They go back and they lift up 10 pounds and 15 pounds in just a couple of days, and they rip and they tear, and they got hernias and all kind of problems created, from which they may have subsequent major problems and troubles. And as a result, they wouldn't mend. And then there are some people that they just don't mend anyway. I mean, they are inheriting that sort of trait and they just don't mend well anyway. And I would have been wearied to death about people not mending from the surgeries that I had done. I'm telling you, I would have been. And so I chose a better way of life. I have an answer from God's Word. I have an answer from teaching the Lord's will. And in that way, that's the way of life that we all should follow. Every one of us should do. And as a result of that, we can, if we want to please God, follow that way. And if we don't please God that way, we will at the judgment hear Him say, either well done or you did not do what I asked you to do. And what will be our reply? What can we say? The book of Revelation says regarding that fear of the judgment day that they will, not ready, run unto the hills and cry unto them, fall upon us, the rocks and everything, fall upon us and hide us from the face of His wrath. There will be people who knew that they ought to have done differently, but they never got around to it. Now the trumpet sounds, the Lord is coming, and on a moment of time, they find themselves trying to find cover and hiding. And some will be close to a mountainside and they'll just ask the rocks to break up, have a fall upon us and bury us, hide us from the face of His wrath. The Revelator said they have done it in vain. We're talking about a right way of the Lord that He says here in 1 John 3:18 is a way that is practiced. Not just said, but practiced. When you say that to someone, you love them, do you really mean it? You know, there are so many marriages these days that are failing and so many trouble and problematic things that are taking place. They could all be solved in one moment of time if they'd follow the simple golden rule that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount told people to live. Only do unto others that which you would have them do unto you in return. I want people to tell me lies and falsehoods. I want people to cheat on me. I want people to disappoint me right and left. I want to go home sad and cry all the time in my life. Well, no one does that. We want to be loved and have compassion to ourselves, and we want people to know the right things and do the good things. We want the promises to be made on telephone that my refrigerator is out and I need a repair on this, or I need another one on this. And when the fellow says, I'll be right around there, we want him to be right around here. There are some places that do business that if you were still waiting on them to replace your refrigerator or whatever, you'd still be you still have sour milk because you wouldn't have it replaced. I tell you, they hadn't come yet, but they promised to come right now. Words, but the words are not facts. And here's what he says about this. My little children, love not in word and speech, but love in deeds, actions, and truth. That's the way to love. Because of that, we can have better homes and families. Because of that, we can practice Jesus' golden rule. We can do to others like we would have them doing to us. And when they do not do that same thing in reply, the God of heaven says he recognizes that. He understands that. In our passage of study in 2 Peter chapter 2 and down at verse 8, he said he knows how to deliver the righteous out of their troubles and times of temptation. But he also knows how to render punishment to those who do wrong and unrighteous deeds. He knows how to do that. He's paying attention every day. He knows our needs. Someone says, well, I don't know of anybody that can know all that. All these hundreds of people, millions of people around us. How does God know every heart and every life? That's because he's God. He fixed something that you and I are around every day and we still can't quite explain. How do you have a black cow to give white milk, churn it into yellow butter? A black cow gives white milk, churns into yellow butter, and if you slaughter the cow, gives red meat. That is, you cook it, it turns to brown or black, depending on how long you leave it on the fire. How does that happen? This God of heaven and creation, of things that we have right around us, we can't quite explain without him. And yet, this God says, I know how to deliver the righteous out of their trials and temptations. But the ungodly, I know how to reserve them for the day of punishment. Going from 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8 back to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament of the Bible. Chapter 71 through chapter 73 talks about the ways of the wicked. And David says, Lord, when I looked at the ways of the wicked, I was disturbed. You're not paying attention. The ways of the wicked are terrible and wrong. And you don't do a thing about it. And I just don't understand why you don't do things about it. They use your name in vain. They live in such a way to hurt and harm others in their home and family and in the community. Terrible things take place. Until, he said, I had this feeling. It overcame me, he says. Until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. Till I went to the house of the Lord. I went to the place of worship. There the reading of the scripture was done. There I heard of the way of the wicked. How that thou hast set the wicked into slippery places. They shall utterly slip and fall. There'll be no help and no hindrance for them. He says, that's the way I live. Now, I don't want to be in a slippery place and slip and fall. I want to be in a place that I know is secure. And so in that security, what happens? I live the righteous way of life. I practice the love that God has taught me to practice. I really do it not just in word and speech, but in deed and truth. And I love that way of His Word, and I love that way of life to live. And thus I'm living it. When I see the wicked out here, I think of words of pity. For they do not realize that the lies they tell and the misfortunes that they live by and the mispractices that they do, they are doing that on a slippery slope. And what's going to happen to them? Ultimately, someday, they'll slip and fall. Utterly be cast down. Where will my station be on firm, secure ways of truth and righteousness? Real love and real joy. Where will I be? I'll be still standing. I'll still be okay. I'll still be blessed by God. That's the way I live. And in that relationship with the Lord, it will be a way of peace and joy and eternal life. The hope of the soul. When Mark says in Mark 8:38, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's not talking about just the male species of life, the man there, mankind. When we get a job, we get a career, and we make just so much money, we've got so much coming in and so little going out, we're wealthy people. Boy, we just great times. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? He gave his life over to gaining everything he could and would lose his own soul. How much of that would he get together that would value the soul so that at the time of the judgment, I can pay this back to God and I, my soul will be saved. I can pay this back. And Mark is saying, it's not possible. Nothing is as valuable. And all of it together is not as valuable as your soul. Think about this real love that God wants us to have in a relationship with Him and with others and with the truth and righteous ways. If you be subject to the Lord's invitation today, the idea is that you too can be a new person in Him. You can serve the ways of the Lord. You can do that righteous way of the Lord. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, some of them needed to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And they would be gathered by the Lord to His church in Acts 2, verse 47. Later on, we read about Paul's type of time, and he said, that's when I was baptized into Christ. I was raised to walk a new walk of life. Know ye not that so many of us were buried with Him by baptism into His death, were raised to walk in newness of life? For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not be enslaved unto sin. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine. From what? From the heart. I didn't just go up and get baptized. I didn't just go up and decide I'd be there and I'd do that deed and I'd be a member of the church. I went from the heart. And as a result of that, well, what he said, I became a servant of righteousness. That's what you can do today. It's the beginning time. The song of invitation has been announced. Would you come as we stand and as we sing it together today?
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn crown brow. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget thy love for me. Calvary.